At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Burkus. On the other side of the screen, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, it's been so long since we talked. How are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, it's been a busy week on the podcast channel. So that's good though. It's bear season is in full swing now. We had Hard Knocks. We got camp going. We got a Hall of Fame game. Another game coming up this week. So busy week for us.
Yeah, I had a doubleheader last night, or maybe a doubleheader yesterday and today, depending on how you want to count it. But, you know, two Bear and Balance back to back. We're going to do another double next week. A lot of fun stuff happening. Tonight, we are joined by our good friend Jonathan Wood, who writes for the Bears blog, does a lot of good stuff over there with our old friend Robert Schmitz. We should probably try to bring Robert Schmitz back on a show at some point here. But happy to have Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Happy to join you here. And thanks also for hooking me up with the ticket so I could go to practice today. Really appreciate that. And looking forward to some good Bears talk tonight.
Yeah, this is called a quid pro quo. Like, we give you a ticket, you come on the show, and you tell us what you saw, and give us some content here. So we're really excited to have you. And it's been a while since we've had you on. I think we've had you on this show, if not this show. I've definitely had you on a different show. But of course, make sure that you're checking out Jonathan's work as you put it out. And you got any big projects coming up? We'll do that part first. We'll let you promote your stuff up front.
I actually have probably the weirdest schedule for like a football blogger ever. I do pretty much nothing in season and a lot of stuff in the like spring and summer off season. Cause I'm a college professor and I've just fall's my busiest time of the year for work. So this is like my last Bears thing for the year before I'm into school mode.
I'm wondering, could you do like a Chicago Bears as elements article for me one time, you know, like we can, you know, the noble gases and, you know, like let's really kind of dig into this nerdy chemistry thing with the periodic table. Maybe that could be a combo article. Maybe we could combine for that effort.
That is a great idea. I would love to collab on that with you sometime. That'd be super fun.
You know, we have done a collab with the Bears blog on a couple articles back in the day. I think it might have been our old guy, Andrew Link, back in the old days when he did some stuff with us. I'm not sure who he worked with over there at the Bears blog, but I know it was you. See, I knew it happened. I knew we did some collab stuff back in the day. So yeah, it's definitely on the table. Let's do it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Well, we'll definitely do that, because what we won't be doing is we won't be doing a Hard Knocks collaboration with the site founder, because your original founder over there apparently hated Hard Knocks last night. So I disagree. I thought it was really entertaining and a lot of fun. We're having fun with the show over there. So a little plug to check that one out too. A Hard Knocks Life. We'll be doing that every week on Tuesdays after the event. So let's get into the practice. And we're flipping it up. I'm gonna every show. I'm always starting off with Caleb Williams, but I feel like we gotta flip this on its head, particularly since the defense has been in front for the whole camp. And so I wanted to talk to you about defense. What did you see today? I know there were some guys in and out of the lineup, and then maybe like big picture, where are you at with this idea that the Bears need to sign another defensive end or another defensive lineman before the year? Or are you still feeling that, or are you feeling a little more comfortable about who you've seen and what you've seen out of that group?
Yeah, first off, from practice today, I just thought the defense looked like really polished and together. which I guess makes sense for a group that, you know, they have most of the same guys back, not a lot of new faces. They're in their third year with the scheme, same coaches, I guess new defensive coordinator, but still Eberflus's defense overall. And so especially contrasting it to the offense, which we'll talk about later, just like they knew what they were doing. And even in like seven on sevens, they had coverage locked down to where they had everything covered pretty well. And so I was just really impressed with that, especially with, it was a lot of depth playing. The defense was without like Kyler Gordon wasn't practicing, Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker. And then about halfway through practice, Andrew Billings and Montez Sweat left. So that's like half your starters out right there. And they didn't miss a beat. So that was good to see. I think the defense, if they had their first game this weekend, would be ready to roll. In terms of big picture for the season, my hot take kind of coming into camp was that I think the Bears offense is going to end up better than the defense this year. I think their defense last year was driven a lot by turnovers, which are not very consistent year to year. And I just think if you look at like the back seven is great, but the defensive line, I don't think there's really anybody available to sign that's going to help it move the needle all that much at this point. And I think they're going to be probably more like average to above average than like a top five unit that some might be expecting. And I'm not going to change that opinion based on like one practice I saw.
If you look at the D line, I mean, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, you know, you hope Jervon Dexter takes a step. You hope the rookie Booker is able to give you some pass rush. You hope DeMarcus Walker can kind of, you know, bounce back a bit off of what it was kind of a down year last year. He played better when Sweat got, you know, the trade for Sweat, but still you're expecting him to do something. Billings, you know, he has to keep it up. You know, Zach Pickens, I mean, right now he's one of your top defensive tackles in your rotation, and he pretty much did nothing last year. So you have a lot of question marks on that D line. And like you said, I mean, there's really no one out there left. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue is still there, but, you know, if it was going to happen, I think it would happen by now.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll maybe look at, like, Yannick or maybe, like, roster cutdowns. But anybody you're getting at that point is somebody who you can maybe be, like, a defensive end four and not absolutely terrible. But there's nobody to move the needle unless they can pull off a trade at some point.
I think every year we get into a situation, there's somebody going to be, you know, in the league where they have a guy that's was projected originally to be a little bit lower on the depth chart that really surges, had a really good offseason, looks really good. He's cheaper under more team control and they don't want to cut him. And they have a veteran that they would love to free some space on, but they don't want to cut that guy either, but he's sort of the odd man out. And so they kind of survey the league and they say like, hey, you know, can you take him? Can you take him? You know, what can we do? Can we do a little pick swap? You know, what can we do? Because we need to get a little value out of this, but you know, we're not going to outright cut this guy. So when, you know, the cutdowns isn't necessarily like, hey, this guy's now available. Sometimes it's like, this guy is available for a really cheap trade and we can bring him in. That's what I'm looking for. That happens a lot, particularly with defensive linemen, because you throw a lot of resources at it. You try to get a lot of bodies and then you start doing the counting and you're like, well, we got to cut one of these guys. And I'm really worried about losing one end or the other here. So I could see that happening. And I'm very hopeful of that happening. I could probably go through some rosters and do a little defensive line watch and hope, you know, that maybe one of those shakes out. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think we're at the point of the season where those vets for hire are very attractive right now, and they're all running around to the same teams doing tryouts and they're getting plucked off, and the Bears aren't seemingly too motivated to bring any of those guys in. So I think you're right that it's probably just going to be something that we're gonna have to roll with what we see here.
Yeah, to maybe bring it back to practice today a little bit, one of the reasons I think they haven't really been doing like the tryout circuit for the defensive ends is the Bears maybe have some higher hopes for Austin Booker than maybe some others do for a typical fifth round pick. He got, especially with all the injuries on the defensive line today, he got a decent number of reps with the first string defense at the end of practice, and some 11 on 11s had some nice pressure. I think he had what would have been called like a drive ending sack on in one of the last reps they did. So he continues to flash a little bit and hopefully can I'm not thinking he's going to step in and like start or have 10 sacks or anything, but just provide some solid snaps for them this year would be a big win.
You know, I saw Adam Johns from The Athletic tweeted out that he noticed Dominique Robinson, third year Bear. You know, he kind of stood out a little bit today, and it's like, what? This guy all of a sudden is going to do something? I mean, I guess he's getting more of an opportunity. Like you said, Montez Sweat was out again today. You know, I mean, they got to throw someone out there. So did you see Dominique Robinson do anything today?
I don't know that I noticed him particularly making plays. I did make an observation that they were rotating him in a lot, both at defensive end and defensive tackle, kind of similar ways like DeMarcus Walker, trying him inside and out. I know he's really struggled to do much of anything since that first game of his career in San Francisco 2 years ago. He's been arguably the worst like pass rusher in the NFL since that game. So maybe trying some inside rush might untap a little bit with him. I don't know there. I think the Bears are trying a lot. I also noticed that Montez Sweat spent about even time to me, it looked like, on either defensive end spot. So kind of swapping sides a lot, where I'd have to look back more at this, but I remember last year he was mostly one side.
Rush the right
tackle.
People
around more. Maybe that's just training camp trying things, but maybe they're just, that's part of their plan for this year, is just to try to let them go at different linemen to keep them off balance a little bit.
Maybe Dominic Robinson was on the Al-Qaeda Muhammad path. Maybe he really bonded with him and was like, here's how you play a lot of snaps and not produce any stats. All right, let's move on to special teams. So I have been talking about punters way too much, and I'm getting a lot of like, Jeff, stop. We got to move on. We can't talk about the punter every show. So Jay Wood, I'm going to ask you about a different special team unit, and I want to talk about punt return. Was there a punt return session today, and like maybe who was back there, and you know, what are you getting a sense of? Maybe who's in the lead of this punt return battle?
Yeah. So, kind of at the start of practice, right before they did their walkthroughs, they had like 10 guys practicing just catching punts from a jugs machine. There was like almost every wide receiver and backup running back and defensive like cornerback on the roster was back there. What really surprised me in that was, again, there were like 10 plus guys back there, and Velus Jones was not one of them. Like, they have completely given up on the idea of him returning punts at all, which kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I guess they're shifting their focus with him to learning running back a bit. He did running back again today. We can talk about that more with the offense a little later. So like, I know like they've had trouble finding a punt returner for a few years now, and they're trying a ton of guys back there. And it really surprised me. He wasn't even one of the many, many that they had. In terms of when they did do like live punt drills, the main three seem to be, looking back at my notes here real quick, sorry. Rome Odunze, Dante Pettis, and Travis Homer were the three they had back there first. So I would guess kind of one of those would be in the lead. Pettis and Homer, I think, are probably on the roster bubbles, which makes me wonder, maybe Odunze is their kind of plan A there.
Would you be okay with it? I mean, for me, if you look at, throughout the history of the last several first round draft picks, obviously you don't want to see your top guy out there returning punts, but it happens. I mean, if you can't get on the field as a starter immediately, I mean, he's going to be your number three. You know, we've seen it with several players, you know, throughout, you know, I know Amari Cooper did it before. You know, there's other guys that have done, I think Des Bryant may have done it before. There's other first round picks that have returned punts. Are you okay with Rome Odunze? If he's the guy, you okay with him being back there as your primary punt returner?
I don't love it, but yeah, as long as DJ and Keenan are healthy, I can live with it probably. I'm looking up here. I think, yeah, DJ Moore did it a little bit his rookie year as well, was what I was just looking up. So there's some Bears-specific precedent there too. Yeah. I just worry with Keenan getting hurt, then I really don't want him doing it if it's just like him and DJ as their main healthy guys. But yeah, I'd be curious to see, you know, he's big, he's fast. See if he could make something happen there.
I think it's so funny because I think everybody has this reaction, like you're going to get hurt. And I'm no doubt that there are injuries to punt returners, but I don't know why we all share that reaction so hard. I don't know if there's hard data to back up that like there's an injury to punt returners more often than any other football play. And so I'm questioning my own reaction to this because, I mean, Antonio Brown used to return punts and it's like, well, it makes sense. Like if you have a dynamic guy that can do it, I mean, we just watched Devin Hester get into the Hall of Fame as the greatest to ever do it. And you would never want him to not do it. I mean, the Bears made that decision from time to time to take him off of returns because they were trying to make him the number one. But, you know, this year is the year for getting creative on how you can get touches for Roma Dunze. And if that's something that he can take care of, you know, I think I'm warming to it. I have this initial gut reaction of I don't want to see him get hurt, but I don't know how often a punt returner gets hurt. It just feels like a weird gut reaction.
I mean, if you have a chance to get a Dunze, I mean, I'm sure he'll be probably if Moore and Allen are healthy, he'll be your number three probably in snap count at receiver. So if you can supplement that with three or four touches in a punt return game for him, I mean, now of course you have more value there. He idolized Devin Hester growing up. That was his favorite player. You know, this could be something he really thrives at as a rookie. And then look, next year maybe you make a change. But I think for year one, for the rookie year, I am more than warmed up to it. I'm ready to see Roma Dunze as your primary punt returner.
Bring it on. All right, Jonathan, I want to ask you about this offensive line. We cannot do an episode without talking about offensive line. It looked like the starting unit today was something that I think a lot of us would feel pretty comfortable with. And I don't know how they got through practice or not, like if maybe Darnell Wright only practiced part of the practice or whatever it is. But it looked like the starting unit was sans Nate Davis, but you had Coleman Shelton at center. You had Ryan Bates at right guard. I think a lot of us are probably pretty comfortable if that's the unit, you know, obviously with Jenkins and Braxton Jones on the left and with Wright on the right. You know, what did you see out of the offensive line? Do you feel comfortable with that starting five moving forward?
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable with that. I wasn't able to see a ton today. Like all their drill stuff was like on the far field for all of the offense. So I just got to see for maybe the last 45 minutes when they were doing like the 11v11 offense versus defense. And they struggled a bit, but yeah, Nate Davis was out. Darnell Wright also, I didn't see it, but somebody said like he got rolled up on in a play. And so he was out and Larry Borum stepped in for him. If they have out of those top six guys, so the presumptive starters plus Shelton, Bates, whoever is the main backup there, as long as they have five of those six healthy, I feel reasonable about the offensive line. I don't think it's a great unit, but I don't think it's a terrible one either. And I think that they'll be okay and they can scheme around it pretty well. I know Shane Waldron has a lot of experience scheming around a pretty poor offensive line in Seattle. And what he has here, at least on paper, should be comparable or better to what he's been working with for the last few years.
This whole Nate Davis situation, right? So he came back earlier this week. He was out there and he was doing some ramp up stuff where he was out there with the team originally. And then as halfway through, he kind of went to the side. Today they're in pads. He wasn't even dressed. So did he regress? Is he not in shape? This is one of those weird things where you're like, Coach Eberflus pretty much questioned him yesterday in his press conference. He put him on notice where, hey, you know, if you're injured, yeah, you can lose your job to a guy that's playing better. I mean, that's putting him on notice. He's making like $10, $11 million this year. He was signed to be the starter, but now he can't even stay on the field. And I think they're ready to move on. And you know, if he was in ramp up mode and now today he doesn't even practice, at some point you got to question this guy's desire.
Yeah, it's watching the Hall of Fame game last week. I saw some tweets, but I wasn't there. And this is where actually I'm wondering if you noticed anything with that, Jeff, since you were there, that he wasn't even on the field stretching when all the other like injured players or players who weren't playing were, and he wasn't out there. Did you notice that, Jeff? Or
it's always tough to notice what's not happening. Yeah. And it's always tough to notice what's not happening when guys aren't wearing numbers. I will be completely honest with you. It is honestly tough. This game is so interesting because you associate they're behind pads, they have a helmet on, and so often you associate them with numbers. There are Hall of Famers walking around, And a lot of those guys, I'm like, and I am into football more than pretty much anybody I know in my life. And there were a few Hall of Famers wearing a Hall of Fame jacket. And I'm like, I'm not sure who that is. And so it is hard to know exactly who's who without those identifiers, but I wasn't, I was on the field before prep, before the game started. And then I was up in the press box. And so by the time I got up in the press box, I mean, I definitely can't see that level of detail because I was not prepared like Mark Potash with the binoculars. So rookie mistake on my part. Next time I'll have binoculars.
I did see a few other tweets during the game saying that Davis, that they didn't see Davis. I think Brad Biggs may have said something. He didn't see Nate Davis out there. And, you know, it makes you wonder, like, you know, did he not even travel with the team? Did he stay in the locker room? I mean, again, where is he at? Like,
where are
you? Hurt, yeah. If he's hurt, he's hurt. That's fine. But if you're not hurt and you're not practicing, I know we heard this from his time in Tennessee. He just does not like to practice, which, you know, I get it. You know, at this point, you know, he's a pro if he's able to step out in the field and perform, but he didn't do it last year. Now, last year was a weird situation with his mother passing away. He had a lot of personal things going on with that, you know, but here we are this year. Presumably he's fine and he's just not out there doing what he has to do.
Yeah, I'm willing to cut him a lot of slack for last year because of his mother. Like, if my mom passed away, I know it would totally mess up my job performance for a few months. And maybe this is, you know, just classic training camp overreactions and he's going to step out week one and be fine. I also can't help but wonder, though, with what you mentioned, Lester, where kind of the rep on him from Tennessee was maybe he didn't like practicing. Maybe he doesn't love football all that much. Maybe he signed that big contract and kind of can look at that and say, all right, I'm going to collect that paycheck for 2 years guaranteed. Now I'm up to making about $25 million in my career, and I'm going to walk away after this year when they cut me and I've gotten what I wanted to get out of football. Again, that's pure speculation on my part. I want to be super clear on that. But the thought enters your mind when somebody has that reputation.
I mean, it's there. It's a fair game to say it. And you know, the only way to make that kind of chatter go away is to be present and show up, you know, that best ability is availability, compete for that job, get it back, perform well, earn the respect of your teammates, earn the paycheck, and either earn the next paycheck from the Bears or somebody else. But even just having that level of pride of fulfilling the contract that you did sign, I think is a reasonable expectation for fans to have. And if you're not going to do that, then you do deserve the stuff that's being kind of thrown around at you. Like I said, last year, totally get it, totally understand. Maybe you're just out of it now. But you know, there is a way to get out of it, and that's just retiring, right? Like, I mean, if you're really, really done and you just like, you have no motivation, that's a lot better for everybody involved, except maybe for Nate Davis's bank account, right? But if we go down that lane and say this is what's happening, you know, there is a better way to do it. There was a guy from the Titans who was going to be the starter, offensive lineman, and he announced his retirement training camp. These things do happen. Guys do say, like, hey, you know what? I don't have it this year. Like, I'm out. I'm done. And they walk away during training camp. They just, their bodies or their mind isn't in it, their heart isn't in it, and they say goodbye. So those things do happen. Again, not speculating that should happen and maybe he'll be fine and whatever, but you're starting to get that sense that some of these whispers are starting to be spoken at the microphone, and sometimes those turn into bullhorns. So hey, we're giving away preseason tickets. Lester mentioned that he's going to be at that joint practice with the Bengals. We're also giving away two of Bill Zimmerman's tickets. They are good seats. I promise you will have fun. Well, I can't promise you'll have fun because some of you just hate fun. But if you go with the right attitude, I think that there's a high likelihood that you will have fun with some good seats here. We're giving away those two tickets. Lester, how can they join?
Yeah, you're going to tweet us at Second City Gridiron, and you got three ways to enter. One, you're going to send us a screenshot that you're subbed to our podcast channel, wherever you get your pod. You're going to send us a screenshot that you're subbed to our YouTube channel here on YouTube, obviously. And then you're also going to, for a bonus entry, if you donate a minimum of $10 to Bears Care, that'll get you a third entry. And I know not everyone does social media because it's social media, but so you can send us an email also. at secondcitygridiron@gmail.com. That's 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com with those same three screenshots that get the three entries. If you only send us one screenshot, one entry, it's all good. But if you want to get the best chances, send us all three of those and we'll get you three chances to win. We'll do the random number draw on Monday and then we'll give you guys 24 hours to accept. And then if we don't hear you back by 24 hours, we're going to draw another one. We want to make sure those tickets get to someone home, someone that have enough time to kind of, you know, plan their week. Cause you know, you're going to Soldier Field, you know, you may have to get a sitter, who knows, but we got to make sure you have enough time to get that. So, you know, send us those screenshots and we'll get that ticket given away Monday.
Awesome. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Other side of this, we're going to ask Jonathan about Caleb Williams and get his picks for the three Bears. Stick with us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jay Wood, let's talk about Caleb Williams. So I haven't gotten you on air to talk about the number one overall pick. So let's just like big picture, you know, what's your overall thought on the prospect? And then take that through to today where you got to see him live for the first time and your impressions.
I mean, big picture, I am ridiculously excited and I don't know how you could be a Bears fan and not be about somebody who's being talked about as, you know, one of the best prospects since Andrew Luck. I'm not going to claim to be a, like, quarterback scouting expert, but guys who put a lot more time into it than me have said those types of things. So I hope that they're right, because that sounds awesome. I was born in 1988, so I just missed the run of the 80s. I've never really seen great, like, particularly good quarterback play from the Bears in my lifetime. So I would like to change that. Sooner rather than later would be great. And I think Caleb can hopefully be the guy to do that. In terms of practice today, again, it's hard to say too much from one practice where it looked like they were installing new stuff. They did a lot of checkdowns and screens to running backs today. So I don't know if that was like the emphasis of what the offense was trying to do for the day, was focus on passing game to running backs. He looked a bit more inaccurate than I would have liked to see on deep stuff today. He had three or four deep balls that I can remember that were either like too short or too long. Had another one or two where there seemed to be some miscommunication between him and the receiver about where the ball was supposed to go, like where the route was run, and missing by like 15, 20 yards then. Again, everything just kind of seemed disjointed today, but it's a new offense. They were installing new stuff. I don't want to put too much weight into that. I think overall, I'm still definitely very optimistic.
Yeah, that's the buzzword. I mean, we're all optimistic as Bears fans. You know, it's funny. I saw some guys coming at Zach Pearson, who does stuff for the Bear Report, and they were mad at him today because he was tweeting out something similar to what you just said. He was inaccurate on a few passes. And that's just a certain portion of our fan base, right? They don't want to hear the negative stuff. They just want to hear all the positive stuff. But it's training camp. I mean, these guys are going to struggle. We kind of saw it in that Hard Knocks episode. I mean, the whole open when he finally focused on Caleb was him struggling in the offense, and it's going to happen. You heard Coach Flew say it in Hard Knocks, you know, year two, year three is when he finally realized this is the guy we got here. You know, CJ Stroud just kind of came out of nowhere last year and had just a phenomenal season. You know, if he continues his ascension, by year three, he's going to be even better. You know, it doesn't happen right out of the gate for some players. You know, Caleb's going to have some moments, but he's also going to have some moments where you're like, holy cow, this is the guy.
Well, Jonathan, let me ask you this, because you're a guy who likes stats. And so I think a lot of people like to throw around, but, you know, Caleb needs to throw for X number of yards or X number of touchdowns or have a touchdown to interception ratio or whatever. You know, do you have an opinion on a floor for a certain number that you think a successful rookie season for Caleb Williams is? Or do you have more of a, you know, I know it when I see it, you know, if it clicks in and he's like proves to be like, yeah, this is a guy that's more important to me than any sort of number that he may or may not hit.
Yeah. My approach to numbers is usually I try not to put too much weight in any one single number, because I like to look at it as I gather as much data as I can about a player or a topic, and then try to get a complete picture from that data as much as I can, while still understanding that, like, watching the film to understand, put that data in context is also going to be part of that picture. So there's not really any one number that I'm looking for. In general, I tend to care more about efficiency than volume. So I'm not focused on like, oh, 4,000 yards or 30 touchdowns or whatever, because maybe he gets hurt and he's really good in 10 games, but doesn't hit either of those benchmarks. Who knows? I would like to see around league average play in terms of efficiency. I think for a rookie, that's a really good outcome. So last couple of years, that's been like in terms of like yards per attempt, about 7, maybe like a 63-65% completion. Maybe like a 2-to-1 touchdown would be like ideal if you wanted to put a couple hard numbers on things. But in general, if his overall efficiency profile is around league average, I'd be very happy with that for a rookie season.
Yeah, 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, I think is a pretty good marker. Like, that's a nice league average in the early in this current era. Like, that's not exceptional, but it's pretty decent. So I think that's a good one to talk about too, because, you know, he's gonna make some mistakes, and even though he was incredibly protective of the ball, like, he's very good at that in college. You know, he's going to get tricked. It's going to happen. Like, these guys that don't throw picks are generally the guys that have been around for 15 years, and they've seen it all. And so they don't put the ball in harm's way unless their arm starts to deteriorate and they just can't make those throws. Like that, you were talking about the Hard Knocks, Lester. I thought that was a really interesting clip where they showed a pass breakup, and Flew's pulled him aside and he goes, "Hey, you can't get away with that throw. The windows are too small here. You can't throw that late." And I thought, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's getting ironed out against a good secondary now, because he's going to learn that in practice. And, you know, hopefully that translates to the game where you're not going to see that. Jonathan, we've been kind of changing our three Bears category we changed it last night with our guest, Luis Medina. And I kind of like this idea of taking the three Bears category and make it a seasonal question. So the hot bowl of porridge we generally give to the player that exceeded expectations. So for the season long, I'd like to ask you, you know, who is the player that you think will do better than what most are expecting from him? So who's the guy that you think is going to just outperform expectations?
That's always a hard one for me to pick, because I feel like off-season expectations just get really ratcheted up for like everybody. And so I guess that depends on who you talk to about expectations.
Or who are you buying into the off-season elevated expectations? Maybe we could put it that way.
Sure. I'll say Roschon Johnson, which is, I didn't get to see him practice today, but one thing I did notice that was really interesting was even with him out, Travis Homer was getting some looks in passing situations with the starters, kind of instead of Khalil Herbert. So I think Herbert's still going to have a role as a runner, but I think with Waldron's offense, they really value well-rounded running backs that in a way that Herbert's not. And so I think that's going to elevate the role that Roschon sees, maybe compared to what some are expecting. And I know he struggled a lot last year, had that nasty concussion that took him some time to bounce back from. But I thought he looked pretty solid early in his rookie season last year before that. And like, I don't think he's going to be a superstar or anything, but I think he can be a solid offensive contributor in what might be a little bit bigger role than some are expecting.
That's a good pick. I mean, you always hear the Khalil Herbert discourse, of course, with Bears fans, and oh, he can't do this, he can't do that. But you know, as a runner, he's pretty damn good. But you mentioned Roschon Johnson. I mean, it does seem like it's trending that way, that for him to be the primary backup to Swift, because he can do more things well. I mean, he's not great at anything, you know, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, we did see him in the screen game a little bit, you know, during the season last year. You know, he is a little better of a pass blocker. He's probably better of a pass blocker than Swift as well, because Swift is fine there. He's just not someone I would trust all the time there, which I think Swift, you're going to see him on routes more. I think if he's in the game, I can't see him being in the pass block very often. I mean, he will do it because that's part of what he has to do. But I think, you know, Roschon is going to be a guy that can kind of come in, and now he can kind of do a little bit of everything, and you're not tipping your hand to the defense.
What about the other side, Jonathan? Is there a player that, you know, you've been hearing the expectations and you're kind of looking at going, I'm a little worried. I don't think that guy's going to live up to that level of expectation.
This might be cheating a little bit because we already talked about him some earlier, but I'm actually going to go for this year specifically, Caleb Williams. I think a lot of Bears fans are looking at what CJ Stroud did last year and thinking, oh, he's just going to step in. He's got all these great receivers to throw to, and he's going to be like a near MVP level player from day one. And it's possible, but man, that's just, life as a rookie is so hard for everybody in the NFL, but especially quarterback. There's just such a learning curve. And like, I think Williams is like, I don't think he's going to be terrible this year or anything, but I think the overall product, I'm much more optimistic for 2025 and beyond with him. I think this year, again, I'm hoping for around average, but I think that would be disappointing to a lot of Bears fans, even though I think that's a like top 10% outcome for a rookie quarterback.
If you look at the historical, I mean, if he just gets to the point where he's considered the greatest rookie quarterback of all time in Chicago Bears history, that's a pretty low bar, you know? So, I mean, if he can exceed those numbers at some point, I think that's a win. Like I said, he's in a struggle. It's going to happen. You know, like JB said, you know, they were talking about in practice, you know, there's certain plays he has to learn what he can and can't do at this level. And it's good that he's going against such a good defense, because that's going to help him in the long run. But still, once the real games start, you know, the intensity cranks up to another level. So he'll have to relearn some of those things where, you know, yeah, he can do it in practice, but game time, not so much. So then if you even look at the historical numbers for the franchise best quarterback, that's a pretty low bar also. So, I mean, he could approach those numbers. He may even exceed those numbers. And there will be still some fans say, yeah, but look what Stroud did last year. So some fans you can't please. I mean, they're going to be crabby no matter what happens with him. But yeah, I'm like you. I think that's a good pick there also, Caleb. You know, the expectations are there, but he may not be elite out of the gates.
As I always say, there's some people that'll bitch if their ice cream is cold. So, all right. So the third bowl is the Just Right. So again, this is the guy that kind of meets your expectations. But I think for this, you could also answer this like just the guy that you're really excited about. Maybe you're excited about in a different way than what you're hearing other people be excited about.
That changes what I was about to say. Sorry.
You can say what you were going to say. Okay. I just thought like give you a different option.
Again, where I think a lot of like offseason expectations are always just like sky high. And I actually think that's just right for Jalen Johnson. I think we saw a really talented player put it all together last year. And now the expectations are that he's going to keep doing that. You know, he's being paid to do that and be like one of the top cornerbacks in football. Admittedly, like all of their other starting defensive backs were out today, but I really noticed watching the one-on-ones of wide receiver versus cornerback, which were like right in front of me. And those are heavily favored towards the wide receiver. They got the whole field to work with, no help. Jalen Johnson maybe gave up one catch and it was contested. Like, he was just right there, stood out compared to all the other cornerbacks. Just, you could not shake him. I don't think last year was a fluke. I think he is poised to remain as one of those top players, and top coverage players. And so I think the sky high expectations there are fair. And hopefully with any luck, he will actually get voted into the top 100 list next year. So he doesn't have to complain about that.
He seems like a guy that looks for motivation, right? Like, he's a guy that wants that. He's talked about it. He talked about how mad he was that he didn't make the cut for the top 100 list. And, you know, Keenan Allen at his press conference the other day said that he has never caught a pass on Jalen Johnson, where today I finally saw someone tweeted out that he finally got the one catch against Jalen Johnson. So I'm guessing it's going to piss Jalen Johnson off and he's going to work even harder to shut Keenan down in the next practice.
Yeah, that was the one catch he gave up in one-on-ones out of like four, I think. And even that one was a little bit of a shorter pass, not like a deep one, where Keenan just had a nice kind of like comeback-ish route, if I'm remembering that right. Although Keenan might have meant in like 11-on-11s, because again, one-on-ones, that's almost cheating. That's too easy.
You know, I thought we did see it in Hard Knocks. It may have been a 7-on-7 drill. I can't remember. I have to go back. But it looked like Jalen was the guy in coverage, but it wasn't particularly contested. So I don't know if it was like a zone situation or what. So he might have been thinking like, hey, when that guy's manned up with me, like, I haven't been able to get him yet. But that's incredibly high praise, because Keenan Allen's one of the best route runners in the entire league. And, you know, he's been playing the game a long time. He's been up against a lot of really great corners. And so, yeah, sometimes, you know, it's that season where you're kind of, you're being nice to your teammates and all that kind of stuff, but it's legit. Like, he's like, yeah, this dude's bringing it every day. And think about how great that is for these young corners. I think we talked last year, all we could talk about was the secondary, because that was like the only bright spot on the team, right? And this year, everybody wants to talk about the receivers, which is true, because you've got these three really fun and interesting dynamic wide receivers. But you've still got that secondary. And so those guys going against each other in practice every day, I mean, that is epic. You know, the opposite might be happening on the defensive and offensive lines, where, you know, maybe we're in for a rude awakening there. But there's some epic battles going on between top tier elite players. And once you get out against the opposing team, that talent level is not always going to be there on the opposing team. And that's only going to help you when you get into those situations. So it's really exciting.
If it's iron sharpening iron for the DB versus receiver, what is it? What is the Bears O-line dealing? What is that?
I don't know. Just like shaking some sticks against each other and, you know, just breaking easily. I don't know. Some clay. I don't know. But it's not great. It's not great right now. Jonathan, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I would assume that if people are listening to this, they are familiar with your work, but you're over at the Bears blogs. Like you say, you're an off-season writer, because then you're focusing on school, but really appreciate you coming on time, taking the time to go to practice, being our eyes and ears. And any final thoughts before we close it out?
Nothing really jumps to mind too much right now. I think we hit a lot of good stuff in our conversation here. Just wanted to say again, thank you guys so much for the ticket and for having me. Got to do this again sometime. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Sounds good. Anytime.
I appreciate it, guys. And Lester and I will be back next week for another doubleheader. And I'll be back next week with Taylor Dahl to do Hard Knocks Life after the episode on Tuesday night. So join us for any of those. And until next time, bear down.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week.
and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.